I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. First off, I just want to recognize you're all here on time. You all get a church point. Just go ahead, file it on the time change. Just keep it. I think you can redeem them at the end of the year for like stuffed animal in the gift shop. Yeah, okay. One of my favorite heroes of all time as a kid is Batman. I still love Batman, but I have memories as young as I've ever been of like playing with Batman. I have a picture of myself on my grandmother's living room floor in Memphis, Tennessee, a little Batman action figure. I watched the cartoons as a kid. I got all into the angsty comics as a teen, and I still love me some Batman. You're probably familiar with Batman because arguably Batman is the most kind of recognizable superhero that's out there on the global scale right now. Here's my question. How many of you know Batman's origin story? The show of hands. Yeah, so you do, right? So what is the thing that happens? What is the animating event that kicks Batman's story off? Why does he become Batman? Yeah. Wait, hold on. Nelson, yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, this is your moment. Don't mess this up.
Okay.
Please stand to answer. Yes, his parents die. They die like they get old and die?
They were shot.
They were totally shot. So his parents are murdered in front of him, and he kind of watches them die in Crime Alley. And then, which as a kid I was not paying attention to. I liked the costume and the powers. But what Batman does is he resolves as a young child that this evil that was visited on him will never be visited on anyone else. He would devote himself to the ideal of fighting evil. And so he becomes Batman, and that's kind of how he does it. The pain and the wound that he sustains to the death of his parents isn't something that defines him. He uses it and it becomes a portal of transformation into, in this case, the Batman, which, to be fair, also involves a lot of neck punches and roundhouse kicks, but let's just take it broadly speaking. Now, this dynamic of transformation is actually what is at the heart of this Numbers reading this morning. I know, you didn't see that coming, did you? Yes. Batman goes with the weird snakes and the bronze snake. And let's be honest, that's a really weird reading. Would you agree? I mean, this is one of those ones Matthew Phillips just turned to me while I was up there, and he's like, you're going to preach on that? There's still time to turn back. And it's true. I mean, you read this, and it kind of just feels not even like it's getting in the way of people connecting to God, but so bizarre as to what does it even mean? Isn't it just some sort of relic of an ancient time? How could we ever find meaning in this story? Now, this is actually the question that we asked Wednesday night, because we're this lectionary text I'm preaching on because it's part of our sermon series. It actually follows the story of covenant, the promise that God made to human beings to make the world right through the family of Abraham. And the promise that God said, it doesn't matter what you do, I'm in and I'm going to keep my end of the bargain. It's really the only end of the bargain. I'm keeping my word. And so that promise follows through, and we find it being picked up today in this strange event in the desert. Now, what precipitates the snakes being sent among them is that the people of Israel complain against God's authority over them. They complain against the one that God has put in charge of their faith community. I just want to meditate on that for a good long while. No, I'm just kidding. So, but it's true. They do. They complain. It's actually, though, not the first time they've complained. They complain four different times. This is the fourth time they've grumbled against God. And so they've been asking God, like Moses, why did you bring us out here? Wouldn't it have been better if we had ended up where? Where do they want to go back to? Egypt. Now, what was in Egypt? What were they in Egypt? They were slaves, right? And it starts to answer some of the question about maybe why snakes are involved in this story, because in this particular case, the Pharaoh of Egypt had a molded figure of a hooded cobra on his headpiece. It was called a uraeus. And that uraeus, is this, by the way, is this helping? This is like my, somebody told me this was American Sign Language for the uraeus. This this uraeus is this hooded cobra, and it's a symbol of the pharaoh's authority, but it is also understood that in kind of mythological terms, if anyone was to attack the pharaoh, the uraeus would spit fire at them and defend the pharaoh, right? So snakes come among people that want to go back to Egypt, and you start to see, oh, there's some like layers going on here. Oh, you liked it in Egypt? This is what Egypt brings, nothing but death. And let's be honest, I mean, at kind of a meta level, have you ever been freed from something or walked away from a destructive habit only to find yourself being drawn back to it, wanting to go back to it, even complaining about the work that it takes to maintain sobriety when you're away from it? Well, then you might know exactly some of the truth this story is starting to flower before us. Are you with me? Now, so that's a little bit about, I mean, maybe why there's some snakes in here. The other thing that I should point out is that it's actually not the last time the bronze snake that Moses holds up that the people must look to in order to be healed, it's not the last time that shows up in the scriptures. Does anyone know where it shows up later? Yes.
The snake?
Yeah, the bronze one. Yes! This is Matthew, this is why I'm preaching on it, so your kid can answer that question in church. Yeah, so it shows up in 2 Kings up top. And because the people have begun to burn incense to it and worship it, and so Hezekiah, who's like the faithful king, has to destroy it. He breaks it apart. So actually, it's interesting, this number story is actually kind of written in part as an origin story for the snake that they all knew Hezekiah had destroyed. So there's a little bit of what the snakes are doing in the text and maybe why they're there a little bit. But the thing I want to point out in regard to what this all has to do with that covenant promise is that this is, again, the fourth time that the people have complained against God in a similar manner. If you track it back all the way to the first time they complain, it's in Exodus 15, and they are complaining in that case about the lack of water, and it's the one where God, they take the wood and throw it in the water, and it makes it potable, and then they can drink it. And in that moment, God promises, I'm always going to be here to take care of you. If you follow my commands, live by my statutes, I will be your God, and I will be, it says, the God who heals you. And so part of what's profound about this Numbers text is four times later, same complaining, same grumbling, even with snakes, when this people pray and ask for deliverance from God, God says, here you go. Because you are never too far gone to be rescued and healed by this God. There's not one too many things. There is not a straw that can break the camel's back of God's love and promise and care for you, for people. You're never gonna send God away. You can't do it. And that's part of what this shows us. Are you with me on that? Now, here's how I think this ties into Batman. Because the nature of the snake is pretty interesting in this story. And by that I mean, what is it that goes out among the people and bites them? It's a snake. What is it that God directs Moses to make out of bronze and put up on a pole? It's a snake. The thing that wounds the people is also the thing that heals the people. That which hurts you is also that which can heal you. This is a profound mystery that I believe is at the heart of our creation and that is only revealed when you meditate on it. Okay? Because here's the thing. Everybody has a hurt. Everybody has a wound. All of us, it was something that happened to us. It was something that didn't happen to us that's left a wound, left a mark. It's the death of a child. It's the death of a spouse, a loved one. It's something, something happens and there's a wound that hits us. And if it hasn't happened to you yet, it will. It's just how life goes. Malcolm's like, don't curse me. It's just true. I'm just naming truth. It It just happens. You will encounter something in your life at some point that is too big for your coping mechanisms to handle. All right? Our egos hate this. Our ego wants to believe we can handle everything. We can grab it, we can control it, we can suppress it. And like at St. Paul's, we have kind of an unspoken social contract that's how we agree and we work together. How you doing? I'm fine. Right? But the thing is, we do that because we believe that wound, that pain, is an impediment to our peace. It's an impediment to our joy. It's even an impediment, we believe, to God. I just can't connect to God anymore. Why did this happen? I'm so mad. I'm angry. You know, these things come up, and we feel like this is a block to the kind of life we know that God is calling us to the connection with the divine. The mystery of the snake is that it's not an impediment to God. It is actually your pathway to God. That wound is not a block for you. It is the very means by which you will find God and therefore the joy and peace and freedom that you're looking for. Okay? Because when you recognize that you can't control whatever is hurting you, whatever has wounded you, when it's too big for you to, we try to understand it too. If I could just understand it, I'm going to read more books on it. I can't understand it. I can't rationalize it away. I can't deal with it. When we get stuck in that place, we have a choice. We can deny it, suppress it, and just keep holding it, or we can look for God in the middle of it. Because what we see in the cross is a God that finds us in our suffering, that isn't there once we deal with our suffering, we get rid of our suffering, and then we can connect with God. No, this God is like, actually, if you want to find me, you will find it through your suffering. And the thing that we have, the reason I bring this up and I want to emphasize it is that if we don't follow that path with our wounds, do you know what we do with our woundedness? We start passing it on to other people. We start putting it on others. If we don't transform our pain, we will transmit it. And so you'll pass it on to your kids. You'll pass it on to your spouse. You'll take it out on the people you work with. You'll go after your friends. And we've all seen this. You know people that are extremely bitter, probably, in your life. You can think of them. And the people that are the most bitter in your life are often people that have sustained a wound that they've just said, I'm fine. I'm not going to transform this or let this transform me. I'm not going to find this as a path to God. I'm not going to look for God in it. I'm shutting it down. And what do? We have to discharge that energy somehow. And so you start taking it out on everybody else. And they just spread toxicity and negativity. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you experienced this dynamic? Yeah. The mystery of this snake story is that thing that has wounded you is not in your way. It is a gate. It is a doorway for you to move through. And when you move through it, you will find God there. God is in that suffering with you, not after it, in it. And then you will be like Batman, my friends. Where you have not let a wound be something that owns you and defines you and blocks you from the kind of life you want and you're living, you let your pain be transformed into something better. Hopefully without all the neck punching. Are you following me? So if you feel like your ego is open to this path, if you feel like you've got a sense of I could be open to exploring that, I might be open to stop trying to control what is giving me anxiety. I'm going to stop trying to just like shut it down and pretend. If I just pretend hard enough it's not there, I'll be fine. I can just go to work and work harder and stay busy and drink more and then I'll be fine, right? Or medicated or whatever we want to do. So if you feel like you're tired of that, if you feel like that isn't working, if you're open to experiencing this mystery, I want to give you two prayers. The first one is a prayer for those of you whom this may be new for. Maybe this resonates this morning in some sort of small way, but you don't know exactly how to access it. So here's the prayer. I'm not passing this on. Okay, so that's where it starts. I'm not passing this on. The prayer is a resolve. It's a recognition. This wound, this pain, this hurt, this snake bite is there. I'm not passing it on. I don't want to pass it on. I don't want my kids to deal with this. I don't want this to show up at Christmas every year when they come over. I don't want this to be the subtext of every lunch I have with my mother. I'm not passing it on, okay? So that's where it can start. For those of you that might have been praying that prayer or kind of recognizing this and you're working it, then the next prayer is this. God, show me where you are even in this. Show me where you are even in this. If you're like me, you want to get out of the pain as quickly as possible. I don't want to be present to this. That's why I'm ignoring it. I don't like this feeling. Don't rush to escape it. It's your teacher. It is your path. You can't walk through a gate that you won't take the step through, right? So the invitation, God, show me where you are, even in this. And then, like Jesus, hang there a while and watch how God meets you. I guarantee you the people you know in this life that have the most joy and are the most free and comfortable in their own skin, if you start asking them questions about their story, they will all have a story where they have suffered some sort of trauma or tragedy and they walked through it. It's the weirdest thing. The people I know that are the most joyful, you're hanging out with them at a dinner party, tell me your story. And invariably they start telling me about how they lost a kid, how they got divorced, how their life fell apart, how they were addicted, but they came out somehow on the other side with this sort of freedom and hope because the thing that wounded them was actually their path to healing. And if you're in this room today and you're feeling like, that's great, Dixon, but that's not for me because it's been too long. It's been too many years. That was 3 decades ago that happened. I've been suppressing it for so long. I don't even know who I am without trying to suppress this pain. I've been trying to control it for all these years. It's just, that's for everybody else. That's not for me. The promise of the covenant God is that you are never too far gone for this healing. You are never too far gone. It's never been too long. There's never been too much water under the bridge. So may you know that, may you find that, and may you embrace the transformation of your own pain. Amen.